welcome each one of you here this evening. It's a beautiful fall day. That has a blessing and also, I think, some disadvantage, too, with the changing of seasons brings allergies and all these types of things. So know that there's a number that are suffering from that. So take care of yourselves and encourage those who are here and healthy to take care of those who aren't doing well. We did have a great day at Love and Care. If you've not had an opportunity to go and visit with the ladies, encourage you to do that. Again, we have another opportunity, Lord willing, this Thursday. And those ladies dearly love to see visitors and see us participate and lead in worship and just encourage them. So if you have an opportunity, go out and visit, particularly this Thursday as well. It's a great opportunity to be able to encourage those ladies. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God in heaven, we just thank you for this day of life. We thank you for this closing of the day. We can spend time with you and your word with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for all that you do for us. And Father, we just pray that you help us to open our minds and our hearts to your will and help us to be challenged by your scriptures and be able to live as you need us to live in this day and time. Father, we do lift up our country. We pray for the leaders of this land. Father, we pray that they will be guided by your word. And Father, we pray that our nation will repent of their sins. And that we pray that as Christians, we can be a light to show them and direct them to your ways. Father, we just thank you for the peace we have. We just pray that we continue to have this peace. And ultimately, we have the peace through Christ. And Father, we just pray that we can be able to use that to spread the good news of your Son. Thank you so much for Jesus. It's his name we pray. Amen. What is a disciple? That term is used very commonly in Scripture. It is sometimes referred to us as Christians, one of the terms used. But have you ever looked at the word disciple? I want to call your attention to the reading that was read a little bit earlier in Acts chapter 18. And in Acts chapter 18, we are introduced in verse 24 to Apollos. We don't know a whole lot about Apollos, but what we do know is that he was a Jew born in Alexandria. Excuse me. He was a man well-versed in Scripture and eloquent, meaning he was learned. He came to Ephesus, where he spoke boldly in the synagogues. It goes on to say that he knew only the baptism in John, and he needed to be taught more accurately. By definition, he is a disciple. But as the text indicates, that there are some things that he was missing. One of those things, it seems, as you go into 18, was the proper baptism, as we see that there is a correction in regard to baptism, and we spent some time talking about that this morning. But Apollos was a disciple, meaning he was a pupil or a follower of a teacher, particularly John, it seems, at least John's teaching. And when we think about a disciple, we see that the generic definition is that there was a lot of disciples in the first century. I point out Apollos because he is one of many disciples that was following John the Baptist. We do know, as we read in the New Testament, and particularly the Gospels, that John the Baptist had disciples as well. But we also could go on and look at others who had disciples. The Pharisees as well had disciples. And so the understanding is that a disciple is someone who is a student, a learner, an apprentice. I want to look a little bit closer tonight at this idea of a disciple. Who were the disciples? Well, the word disciple is found 284 times in the New Testament. Although the word disciple is, in most translations of the Old Testament, not necessarily found, but its equivalent, learner, follower, is found about six times in the Hebrew Old Testament. And so it is basically, in Bible times, a student. Someone who studies a certain subject might be considered a disciple. They are learning a discipline. Probably the more accurate understanding is that they are an apprentice. And so throughout the New Testament, we find that there are these apprentices, these disciples. As mentioned earlier, I said that there was those of the Pharisees indicated had disciples. John the Baptist had disciples, according to Mark 2 and verse 18. The Jews saw themselves as disciples of Moses in John 9, verse 28. So the term is used a number of times referring not necessarily to one who is a Christian. And the term is often used, though, of Christians as well. So what does it carry? What does it mean? Well, when it comes to mind in referring to a follower of Christ, it meant one who was trying to put Christ first. It meant they were taking up their cross, and it meant total commitment. And so as we think about this, Jesus had many disciples, many who followed him that were learners, that were students. We know of the 12 that were introduced as 12 disciples, as an inner core who assisted him in his ministry. Later they became apostles, which the word apostles means something different. Although we sometimes use the word disciple and apostles interchangeably, the word a disciple, as I mentioned earlier, is a student, a learner. The word apostle means one sent out with some type of authority. It's interesting that although they are used that way, disciples are usually common, the 12 disciples are usually commonly referred to that. And then after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, they're known more as the 12 apostles because they are sent forth with an evangelic message to convert individuals. So as we think about who the disciples are, we need to realize that in the very basic meaning, there is a person who is a learner, someone who is learning to be an apprentice of whether that's someone's teaching, such as the apostles, the Pharisees, or John the Baptist, or Jesus. So that's a basic meaning of the disciple. But number two, when does one become a disciple? If you have your Bibles, turn over to the Great Commission in Matthew 8, 28. In Matthew 28, we see Jesus makes reference to this very concept of a disciple. In Matthew 28, it's a familiar passage we often look at, but in Matthew 28, notice what it says. We're beginning in verse 16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Someone has wisely stated, no horse gets anywhere until he's harnessed. No steam or gas drives anything until it's confined. The Niagara River never turns anything into light or power until it's tunneled. No life ever does great things until it's focused, dedicated, and disciplined. When we look at the word disciple, it is the process, it's the beginning, learning about the message of Jesus Christ. As we think about this idea as it pertains to the followers of Christ, we need to understand that before we become a Christian, we need to be a disciple. We need to learn. We need to be learners. This isn't really a new concept. We have probably heard this before. Because when we look at Scripture, we see that in order for one to repent of their sins and receive baptism, they must hear the word. We spent some time this morning, if you recall, in Acts 2, looking on the day of Pentecost. But before those individuals asked what they should do, they heard, they learned about the gospel message. And then over in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it reminds us that faith comes from hearing, and the hearing of the word of God. In Acts chapter 8, we see that Philip taught the Ethiopian eunuch. These are just some of the examples that remind us that in order for us to obey the gospel, we need to hear, we need to learn about it, we need to be taught. After all, Christianity is a taught religion. But being a learner, now listen, being a learner doesn't always mean a state of salvation. Turn with me to John chapter 6, if you have your Bibles. John chapter 6. Notice in John chapter 6, verse 60 and following, here is Jesus. This is after he has fed the 5,000. And notice there is this conversation that ensued. And in John chapter 6, verse 60, notice what it says. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, for this reason, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it was granted him from the Father." As a result of this, many of the disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" Simon answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Here we see that those who were following Jesus were considered to be disciples. But because he said some things that they didn't quite agree with or quite understand or didn't like, they walked away. In fact, we see in verse 65 and 66, many disciples withdrew and walked with him no more, meaning they didn't follow. In other words, they quit being disciples. Notice as we go through the book of Acts, we see this also being played out with the Apostle Paul. When the Apostle Paul at the time was Saul was converted, notice in Acts 9, verse 19, that he was praying and he was fasting, and then he gained his strength. And Paul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. Here we see that there was those who were followers of Christ that had continued to walk with Christ. And so when he came to Jerusalem, Acts 9:26, he tried to join the disciples, but they were afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. And then in Acts 11, verse 26, we see on the account where the disciples first called Christians. Well, as we look at seeing and put these together, we need to understand that a person that is learning what to do to become a Christian is in one sense a word, a disciple. Meaning they're learning, they're coming to faith. But this does not mean a saved condition. Once one is baptized, they believe and are baptized, as we see in Mark 16 and verse 16. Then we see the word disciple still applies to them as a saved condition. Meaning, as we see with the Apostle Paul, that he continued to learn, continued to meet with the disciples, continued to grow spiritually. We see this in Acts 2 verse 42 as well. That when those who are baptized continued in the teaching of the apostles, in Acts 17, verse 11, the Bereans continued to search the scriptures daily. And so what we understand is that when we are seeking to know more about Christ, when we are studying the scriptures before conversion, there is a sense of the word, there is a truth that we are disciples. But as we see and continue reading the scriptures, that doesn't mean that we are a Christian. That once we become a Christian by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are a disciple in a saved state, but we just continue to be a disciple, continue to learn, continue to study, to continue to follow Christ. In Romans 10, verse 17, again, we need to continue to develop our faith. Because as faith comes from the Word of God. And we need to keep dwelling in the Word of God. The Bible also has something to say when it says in regards to what we do as disciples in a saved state. What do disciples do after becoming a Christian? Well, time wouldn't allow us to look as many things in the New Testament, what verses that tell us what disciples do. But there is a lengthy list, and I encourage you to keep on studying, but here's at least five things that we can do that we as disciples who are Christians must continue to do. Number one, we are to pray for people. A number of times in Scripture, we see that those who've come into a right relationship with Jesus Christ continue to pray for one another. We see this in Matthew 9, verse 35 to 38. We see it on the day of Pentecost, when we see that they continue not only in the apostles' doctrine, but continue to pray. On many occasions, Paul encouraged those he wrote to pray for him, and as well as the gospel be spread. And simply in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17, it says, continue to pray, or pray without ceasing. And so disciples who are blood-bought, washed in the blood of the Lamb, who are Christians, must continue to pray. But second, we also see that they are not just praying people, but we see they are kind people. They're giving people. One of the things that is noted of Christians throughout the New Testament is their kindness and their giving. We see one such example in Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. And notice what Jesus has to say here. If anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. As we see in the book of Acts, we see that Christians continue to give to those who are in need. They were a benevolent people. They were a helpful people. They were a kind people. Again, in many of Paul's letters, as we've been studying in Ephesians, but other letters, we see that he continues to exhort and challenge and instruct the Christians to be kind, to be giving, to be able to look out for the needs of others, such as Galatians 6:10. Do good to everyone, especially the household of faith. So one of the things that are known for the disciples is not their prayer life, but also their kindness, their giving. Number three, they're also continuing to be taught. In the true meaning of the word disciples, disciples are to continue to be taught, to continue to be learners, to continue to be followers and dedicated to Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 1, notice it says, after Jesus had finished instructing the 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. This is also similar to the Great Commission. Matthew 28, which we read, 18 through 20, tells us that make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit and continue to teach them. We see again in Acts chapter 2, they devoted to the apostles' teaching. And throughout the New Testament, over and over, we see they continue to be taught. It's essential if we are to continue to be vibrant in the faith. If we are to continue to grow in the faith, we need to be taught. I came across one article here in preparing for the lesson this week that shared that the churches that are growing in our day and time, the congregations that are growing and spiritually and numerically are the congregations that are being taught and studying the Word of Christ. I hope that doesn't surprise you, because that is what God has been telling us from the very beginning. We need to continue to be taught. We need to continue to put ourselves in the place where we will learn and be taught the Word of Christ. But number four, as a disciple, we must deny ourselves. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said to disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The very basic meaning of this, and the paraphrase, is we must die to ourselves and follow Jesus. That if we are to continue to be a disciple, there is this constant dying to ourselves, constant dying to selfishness, and striving to seek what the Lord would have us to do. His will, not my will, be done. And if you think about this, this is really the foundation to all we do. When we think about prayer, prayer is not a selfish act. It's one that we are concerned with God, we're concerned with others, and we're concerned with doing things in a spiritual manner. Giving and being kind to one another is denying ourselves. It's not a selfish act. Continuing to be taught is one that is denying our time that we could be spent doing other things in order for us to be nurtured and developed as a Christian. And so at the core of all of this, we see that to be a disciple is denying ourselves and seeking after the Lord, taking up our cross, and following after Jesus. But number five, we see that being a disciple means I make more. I multiply. I share the good news of Jesus, and I bring others into the fold. Again, in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, we see Jesus instructs, therefore go and make disciples. Go and make more. Multiply. If the church is to survive in our community, if the church is to survive in our state, if it is to survive in our nation, it begins by making more, multiplying ourselves. It is the very essence of the message of Jesus Christ. It's a message about sharing the good news. It's also a message about adding to the family, the brotherhood of believers. It's helping us, helping one another get to heaven. So if we are to be the disciples that God needs us to be, we must make more of ourselves. But finally, as we conclude tonight, a disciple, in its very basic meaning, is a learner, a student. In our context, a student of Jesus Christ. It does not necessarily mean a saved condition. We could probably say it this way. All Christians are or should be disciples, but not all disciples are Christians. When one is learning and following Jesus Christ, it should lead them to the right relationship in Christ, by which when they obey the gospel, they become a Christian and they continue to be a disciple. See, the challenge for us as Christians is that we are to make sure that after our baptism, after we've been united with Christ, that we continue to be Christian disciples, continue to be taught, continue to learn. I'm told that the hermit crab, maybe some of you have ever had one or know anything about it, from time to time, the hermit crab will have to leave its shell in order to grow. And they need a shell to protect them from being torn apart by the elements and predators. But yet when they grow, the old shell must be abandoned. They did not abandon it. If they do not abandon it, they will die. Their shell will become their casket. The tricky part for the crab is the brief period of time between when the old shell is discarded and a new one is formed. And during that transition period, they're very vulnerable. It's a very scary time for the crab. Yet as they continue to grow, we see that it is part of life and part of how they mature. When I came across that, I couldn't help but think how not really much different that the crab is in its growth to our growth as a Christian. As a Christian, we constantly are growing. We change and grow and mature. And sometimes we have to shed our shell, our old ways, our old behaviors, sometimes even our old friends. But as we grow and mature, we grow closer to Christ, and we grow to one another in Christ. And although that might be a scary time for many at that moment, it's also a blessing because we are becoming more as Christ would have us to be. So tonight, as a way of invitation, would you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus Christ? And if you do, have you learned that you need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died and was buried and resurrected? Have you learned from your studies that you need to repent of your sins and be baptized into Jesus Christ? And did you learn that you need to continue once you've become a Christian to be a disciple? I hope that you're learning. I hope you continue to learn. But if you need of the invitation, we want to invite you tonight as we stand and as we sing.